Hosanna to the Son of David, the King of Israel. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. You know, the liturgy gives me an opportunity here to make a brief introduction to our service today. And this is a special week liturgically. We have two gospel readings, and since next Sunday is Easter, the first gospel reading is the triumphal entry of Christ into Jerusalem that we celebrate on this day, Palm Sunday. Since we won't have a Sunday between now and Easter, we also read the Passion of the Christ. And you know, since there are two Gospels, I get to have two sermons today. Jennifer's shaking her head if you can't see her. But really, I'm going to have one sermon in two parts, and both of them rather brief since the lesson is rather long. And I'll start with this introduction to invite you to consider the lessons today in light of our current circumstances, to approach this season as a time of exile, to remember, to reflect, to repent, to rejoice, and return. To remember, to reflect, to repent, to rejoice, and to return. And then the second part of the sermon following the Passion, I'll invite you into ways of responding. So as we begin this Holy Week by celebrating the Liturgy of the Palms, I'm reminded both of how embodied our faith is and how disconnected we are by the limits of technology. You know, every week we have the embodied physicality of our faith with the sign of the cross, with the signs of contrition, as we stand and sit and kneel during the service, as we lay on hands to pray, and as we anoint with oil, in the greeting of the peace, in the body and blood of Christ in the Eucharist. And as we've been physically distant from one another, we've started to recognize the limits of technology and the disembodied talking heads that we see on Zoom. And as we enter into Holy Week, the most embodied week of the church year, the week that we begin by physically processing palms, by waving them and shouting Hosanna. As we move to Maundy Thursday and we physically recall and remember and reenact the way of love that Christ demonstrated in that upper room on his last night with the 12, as he washed their feet and offered bread and wine as a physical experience of his body and his blood. So we move to Good Friday and we physically walk the stations of the cross, and we touch and feel the hardwood of the cross in veneration. And on Easter, as we gather together outside in the midst of creation, as we watch the sun rise and we shout, "He is risen." You know, this is the week in which we normally experience the physical nowness of the now and not yet kingdom. But not this week. Not in this time, this disrupted season of social distancing, a season that starkly reminds us of the unrealized promise, the not-yetness of the kingdom. It's a season that to me feels like exile. Now, I'm not suggesting that the coronavirus is or is not a judgment from God. I don't have that kind of prophetic vision. But what I do see in looking at the exile of Judah to Babylon, that exile is an act of love. It's the way that God draws back a willful and disobedient people, a people who have been chosen and beloved, who have been named by the name of God, but have chosen to exchange that for the gods of this world, the false gods that have no power. Exile is the way that God returns a people to his love. And as I consider this Holy Week as a time of exile, I pray that God will use this as a time to draw us back into an awareness of his love, of his sovereignty, and of his kingdom. And I offer this way of approaching this season in exile, to remember, to reflect, to repent, to rejoice, and to return. To remember the walk of Christ, the walk of the cross, from the cheers of Palm Sunday to the Passion alone on the cross. To remember. And to reflect on the ways in which we join in to the kingdom of God, and the ways in which we reject this walk, the ways in which we shout Hosanna on Sunday and crucify him on Friday. And to repent as we see the ways in which we have turned away from the love of God And in repentance, we turn our hearts back to him. And in our repentance, let us lament. Let us lament as Judah lamented, saying, how can we sing the songs of Zion by the waters of Babylon? As we miss on this day, singing right on in majesty. As we miss singing all glory, laud, and honor, let us lament. Let us lament with Nehemiah, saying, how can we be joyful when Jerusalem lies in ruins? And let God comfort us in our lamenting, that we may rejoice. That we may rejoice in the character and promise of God in the midst of this very season. And then let us return. When God calls us, let us return and rebuild, rededicating ourselves as the communities of Ezra and Nehemiah rededicated the temple and the people to worship and to community. And as we enter into this week, remembering the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem with the liturgy of the palms, and we look to the end of the week as we remember in the reading of the Passion that the crown of our King is made of thorns, and his throne the cross. And I invite you to hear the call now to remember, to reflect, to repent, to rejoice, and to return. Dear brothers and sisters, from the beginning of Lent until now, we've been preparing our hearts by repentance and self-sacrifice. Today, with the whole church, we herald the beginning of the celebration of the Paschal Mystery. On this day, our Lord Jesus Christ entered Jerusalem and was welcomed as King with palms and shouts of praise. Today, we greet him as our King. Though we know his crown was a crown of thorns and his throne a cross. Therefore, I invite you to follow our Lord this week, from his triumphal entry through his suffering and death, to the glory of his resurrection. Now hear the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Matthew. Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. And the disciples went and did as Jesus had directed. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds went before him, and that followed him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, who is this? And the crowd said, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Now hear the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Matthew. When morning came, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And they bound him and led him away and delivered him over to Pilate, the governor. Then, when Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, he changed his mind and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See to it yourself. And throwing down the pieces of silver into the temple, he departed, and he went and hanged himself. But the chief priests, taking the pieces of silver, said, it is not lawful to put them into the treasury, since it is blood money. So they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field as a burial place for strangers. Therefore, that field has been called the field of blood to this day. And then was fulfilled what had been spoken by the prophet Jeremiah, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him on whom the price had been set by some of the sons of Israel. And they gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord directed me. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus said, you have said so. But when he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. And then Pilate said to him, "Do you hear how many things they testify against you?" But he gave him no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the crowd any one prisoner whom they wanted. And they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus who is called Christ?" For he knew that it was out of envy that they had delivered him up. Besides, while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man, for I have suffered much because of him today in a dream." Now, the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. And the governor again said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus who is called Christ?" And they all said, "Let him be crucified." And he said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." And all the people answered, "His blood be upon us and on our children." Then he released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole battalion before him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spit on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they went out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments among them by casting lots. They sat down and kept watch over him there. And over his head, they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." So also the chief priests and the scribes and elders mocked him, saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now if he desires him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. Now, from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," which is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders hearing it said, "This man is calling Elijah." And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. But the other said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his head. And the earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and they said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." The Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Amen.
I hope that in these readings you have heard the invitation that God has for you to remember, to reflect, to repent, to rejoice, and to return. And I want to look at briefly at some practical ways that we can accept this invitation and live as a people in exile during this season of Holy Week and of Easter, when we are socially distanced and isolated from one another. We can look to the examples of Jeremiah, to the example of Daniel, and the example of Jesus. We can look to Jeremiah, the crying prophet, who watched and lamented as Jerusalem suffered under siege and ultimately fell to Babylon. Jeremiah lamented. He didn't pull any punches. He poured out his heart before God, poured out the suffering of the people around him, and called to God in distress. And in the midst of all of this, he could call out beyond the horrible circumstances around him and say, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Jeremiah also prayed for and offered encouragement, sending letters to those who were taken as captive to Babylon. We can look to Daniel. Daniel, the young noble, carried with the exiles to Babylon and taken into the court of King Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel maintained the physical customs that he could, in keeping the dietary traditions of Israel. Daniel maintained a habit of daily prayer, ordering his life around times of prayer to the point that those who were jealous of his power and influence used his devotion to the fixed hours of prayer to entrap him, have him thrown into the lion's den. Daniel interceded for the people. He cried out, confessing his sins and the sins of the people, pleading with God for the salvation of the people of God. He met the angel Gabriel and was comforted and was told of the return of the exiles. We look to Jesus, who commands us above all things to love and shows that love in humble service, washing the feet of the disciples and in giving himself for the life of the world on the cross. So, as we seek to walk as exiles through Holy Week and through the Easter season, let us lament. Let us cry out to God. And let us encourage one another. Let us keep those physical things that we can. For me, in this season, that is being called back to Sabbath, to one 24-hour period in which I do not work, but rest and delight in God. And I invite you to listen to how God might be calling you to maintain those physical things of faith that seem distant in this time of exile. And I invite you to explore the ways that you can order your days around fixed times of prayer, bringing order in a time of disruption. And I invite you to intercede for all people, crying out in confession and pleading for the saving help of God. And I invite you to look for ways that you are called to love, to place others above your own self-interest, to practice social distancing as an act of love toward people we may never see or meet, an act of love toward the vulnerable, and the nurses and the doctors. And as we wear masks as an act of love, not because it offers any protection to ourselves, but to protect those we come in contact with, I invite you to go to the store as an act of love, avoiding fear-based hoarding. And I invite you to practice faith-based giving and sharing. May this time, this disruptive time, this time of exile, truly be a time when a lost and wayward people, people that looks a lot like us, in a church that looks a lot like this church, may it be a time when we are drawn back to the love of God, who made thorns his crown and a cross his throne. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.